Thursday the 8th of May, Chai La'Omer, Dain Chanoch Friedman, in Yoni Parshas Emor.
In Parshas Emor, the Torah speaks, the first subject we see there is about the qualifications that a Kohen needs to do the Avodah. It's about Mum, then if he has a blemish, then he can't do the Avodah. The Gemara in Megillah and Choftes says, when it came to give the Torah on Har Sinai, then all the mountains wanted the Torah to be given on them. But we're told, Gavnunim, you're haughty, you thought you're big, you're great, you're haughty, so then you're a Bamum. The Gemara says, Mandiyoy, you're a Bamum. One who's haughty, a Balgaiva is a Bamum. So we would think it's just a figurative expression, Lagarita, but the Meir Simcha and Meshachoch, he brings down the Sameach that of Midos, the only qualification that we find in the Gemara that passes a Kohen from service is if he's a Balgaiva. As the Gemara tells us in Psachim, that someone spoke about the Mizbeach, but not proper respect, Sheket Tzul, he found in him that he's a Balgaiva, and for this he's Posel Avoida. We find with no other Midah, whether he's a person who's like an angry person, or a person who's stingy, or something else, no other Midah do we find that a Kohen is Posel Avoida only by a Balgaiva. Mandiyor Bambum. And the Ramei Simcha goes on further, that by all korbanos, there are different levels of psulim by korbanos. For instance, an animal which was a nogeach, it killed a person, or a roveah, other types of sins. And that type of animal, the halacha is, if some, you're not supposed to sanctify it, to be makdish it. But if you do, the kedusha takes effect. You have to report it, to be pidyon, you have to redeem it. By a bamum, Kedusha doesn't take effect at all. Kedusha is mankal. It's a mandayor balmum. Someone who's a balgaiva, Kedusha doesn't take effect in at all. This is the only type of mum in Midos that a Kohen is possible. And the Kliyoker explains, Moshe kibol Torah misinai. She said, if you know grammar, then you should say, Moshe received the Torah on Har Sinai. Not from Sinai. Moshe kibol Torah mi Sinai. So the Koyaker explains, why did Moshe Rabbeinu speak to Rabbeinu Shlom for 7 days that I don't want to be the one to accept the Torah? Because he thought he's not fit. He's not worthy. But when Moshe Rabbeinu saw that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose Mount Sinai, which was the lowest mountain, so he understood that God's derech is to choose the lowest. So if he says if he chooses the lowest, then I understand why he wants me. So Moshe kibbutz Torah miSinai. From that that God gave the Torah on Har Sinai, that was his source why he thought he was able to accept the Torah. This is one lesson, the importance of modesty in our Sedra. Further on, in the Sedra we have here, v'niktashti b'soch b'nei Yisrael. Rebbeinu Shalom says, and you shall sanctify me amongst the congregation of Israel. From this we learn out, Ein dover b'toch, v'niktashti b'soch b'nei Yisrael, toch, the Gemara learns out, means toch, v'miraglim, that you need 10 people. V'niktashti b'soch b'nei Yisrael, Ein dover shebektusha, pochas me'asara. That you need 10 people, like for every minyan, for Kriyas HaTorah, and so on. Now, in the Mefushim, they explain, in Tashbitz, he brings down that we see, we're also told, in Ikashti, he explains, in Tzlach explains, that just as you need 10 people for a minyan, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it says in all the Kabbalic Sforim, there are Esser Spheros. There are 10 Hanhogos that God treats the world, from Chesed, Gvura, and so on. And God created the world with 10 Maimorim, with 10 statements. The reason why this is done in such a fashion, as the Mishnah says, he could have done it in one. But since God is so elevated and so abstract and so beyond us, he wanted the human beings to be able to have a connection to him. And the only way he could have a connection is by making one strict, another one, and various levels of Atzilus and Tzimtzum, until a person can grab on. I grab on the lowest level like a ladder. If you're too high, then you can't reach it. But if you make steps, then the person gets in the first step, then he goes in the second step, then he goes to the third step. And this is the idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted, that every person should be able to be mizdavik to him. That's why Basora Memoris Nivra Oila. And the Tzlach goes on to say that the Tzadikim, when they daven, he says, the amount of pleasure that they have when they say Psukah de Zimra, thinking about the Dreikus of God, is beyond everything in this world. The Lord of Yehuda, the person, the Balalocha, he speaks about the great pleasure that a person is when he's davening, when the Tzadik, when he says a Psukah de Zimra, that is beyond all comprehension. And further, and Tashbis explains, there's a mitzvah here of Kiddushta in our Sedra, that you're supposed to sanctify the Kohen. So the Tashbis, the Rishon, the Tashbis explains that there are three Ksochet, we know, the three crowns, the crown of Torah, the crown of kings, and the crown of Kuna. So he says, the Torah gave the Kohen in his crown, and gave him honor, the Kiddushta. The Kohen is first Aliyah, he's first. The Torah gave the Malchus, the king, the crown of Yira, of reverence, for a king, if somebody speaks, does something against the king, then he's Chayav Nisa, Mayor Gamalchus, he's down against the king. So he gave the king the crown of Yira. And the third crown, the crown of Torah, God gave both Kavod and Yira. There's a mitzvah of Darth of Mezokin, honoring, and there's also a Nisa of Yeshomo Kechatira, the Rabbis Tamidi Chachamim. And the Talmud goes on to say, just in the Beis HaMikdash, we had things which represented these three crowns. Connected the Keser Kuhuna, representing the Keser Kuhuna, was the Oron, where the Torah was inside in the Holy of Holies. There the Torah was in the Oron, the Ark. Representing the Keser Malchus was the Shulchan, the table, the sustenance. And representing the Keser Kuhuna was the Mizbeach, the altar. And he says, look where how they were placed. Closest to God in the Holy of Holies was the Keser Torah. That was the Aron. Next to it, closer to it, was the Shulchan, the table. Because he says, the Torah and the king, the crown of kings, are one another. Because we require, in order that person should learn Torah, we require the Malchus. We require in Ein Kamach Ein Torah, the Malchus and the Torah go together. The Shulchan and the Oren go together. And further outside, the Keser Kuhuna was the Mizbeach, the altar. And for this reason we have the Halacha, that the Keser Torah is the highest, that if there were, Chas V'Shalom, three people, they were captives. One was the Kohen Gadol, and one was a king of Israel, and one was a Talmud Chacham. The halacha is that Pidyon Shvuyim, you make the Talmud Chacham first. Because the Talmud Chacham, Shemes, has no Tmura. No one can replace it. So the Tashma says that these are the representative of these three Ksarim, Keser Torah, Keser Malchus, and Keser Kuhuna. And what the Torah gave each one, he gave Keser Kuhuna honor, he gave Keser Malchus Yira, and he gave the Keser Torah both Yira and Malchus. And the Keser Torah was in the Kodesh HaKodshim, and next to it was the Keser Malchus, and on the outside was the Kesikon. Further, in our week, in our parsha, we have here the Torah tells us V'nisim es nafshel seichem v'tishi l'chodesh. The Torah tells us about fasting on the ninth day of Tishrei. We all know we fast on Yom Kippur. On the ninth day there's a mitzvah to eat. Now, the Shlach HaKadosh explains what is the special mitzvah of eating on the Erev Yom Kippur. He explains that every mitzvah should be done with simcha. We're told that it brings peronius in Am Yisrael, brings tzaris. If a person does a mitzvah takas or shalom about him, he didn't serve God with happiness, and so on. But the question is, on Yom Kippur, a person has to do tshuva. So he's worried, it's the day of judgment, he's worried about his sins, he has to think about repentance. That doesn't make him necessarily the mood of happiness. So how can we fulfill the mitzvah of doing the mitzvah simcha? So the Shlach HaKadosh says that the simcha of the Yom Kippur is Erev Yom Kippur. That's the mitzvah of Batisha V'chodesh. That the ninth day we're happy that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is being mizakas, that we're meritorious, we're coming to a Yom Kippur, a day of forgiveness. So this is the day that we express the simcha with our sudas, and the simcha we're coming to a Yom Kippur, this is the day, the Tisha V'chodesh. And in Shachal HaTorah, explains that God's kavana, his intent in creating the world, was that a person should really be beyond physical things. He should be like an angel, be like a malach. That's impossible for a human being. So one day a year, God's intent is still kept. That's Yom Kippur. A day where a person is separated entirely from all physical things. He doesn't eat. He's also in the five inuyim. This is where God's intent to the Bria is fulfilled on this one day. Now he says that eating is an inui for the soul. The soul wants to be spiritual. Fasting is an inui for the goof, for the body. That's the pshat, what the Torah tells us, that you fast on the ninth day. Meaning that Yom Kippur is a series of 2 days. The first day there was an inui for the neshama, and the second day there is inui for the goof. But Yom Kippur brings about the spirituality that a person on this day was like an angel. Further in the parasha, we have here about the lighting of the menorah, and Chazal tell us that the Ner Marovi, the Western light, this was an edus shashchinah shriya b'Yisrael. It was a testimony that the divine presence rests among the Jewish people, because it was lit at the same time as all the other neros, and yet it did not extinguish. It burned continually. The Tzlacht of Rabbi Yehuda explains during the Mace of Hanukkah there were 2 miracles. There were 2 important things. 1, that the Shekhinah rests on us always, but 2, that even after the Goyim came and were Matame, they ruined it. It was Tame, Bar Pripsi V'Chalalu, but the Shekhinah still came back. This is the reason why the famous question that there was enough oil to burn for 1 day, so it should only be a miracle 7 days. Why do we have 8 days? So he explains that the 8 day is to represent this miracle, the miracle that even though they were Matane, Bar Pritzah V'Chalalu, but the Shekhinah still comes back. And this is part of the Ner Marovi, that it's continual, that the Klal Yisrael never lose this potential of having the Shekhinah b'Yisrael. And the Yaros Dvash Rabbi Yonasan Eibshitz, he explains that besides the literal meaning, there was this miracle every day in the Beis HaMikdash, but Shemen, we know always, or represent Torah, the light of Torah. So he explains that Torah goes beyond all other chokhmahs, all other wisdom. He says, for instance, if someone never saw a ship in his lifetime, but yet he sees somebody came over the ocean, he knows it was the other side of the ocean, and now he's on this side of the ocean. So he has to start thinking, how could he possibly have traveled? He starts speculating in his mind, what must be this instrument? What does it look like? What is the boat? How is it built? How much does it weigh? How is it it doesn't sink? How does a person travel? But all this speculation is only one who never saw a boat. But if a person saw the boat, then he has no doubts at all. He knows exactly what it looks like. He says all chokhmahs, but they didn't have prophecy, they're all based on speculation. But the Torah, we had the prophecy that we saw clearly. So he says, this is beyond. This is the Ne'emar Rabbi, that were the other wisdoms, and this is where the Torah stopped. This was the Yerzvash that Benyamin and Eibshin explained. As we said before, in this parsha, we had the important lessons. First of all, the lesson of modesty. Now there's a question asked. From one side, that's why a kohen is a bamum, is the in midos, the only midah which passes a kohen from doing the avodah in midos is gaiva. Now there's a question asked. From one side, you tell a person, "Imanikan akolkan." A person is supposed to think that he has a very important task. Hillel would say, "The most modest man, Hillel. But if I'm here, everyone is here." Does that sound like modesty? On the other hand, David HaMelech says, "Anochi talas loish." I'm a worm and not a man. So how do we reconcile? When do you say this, and when do you say that? You have to say the right pasuk at the right time. If you say the wrong pasuk at the wrong time, then you're not in good shape. You're in bad shape. So, the Ben Ish Chai, the Bar Yoyoda, he explains. Chazal told us, La'olam yira olam atzmai, that's called olam kulai, a person should always see himself and the entire world as being half meritorious and half chayav. So he explained, and the Chazal tell us, if you do one mitzvah, you're lucky because you are mezaki yourself and the entire world. If you do one aveira, you're mechayav yourself and the entire world. So he explains that a person having this attitude, that is exactly half, this will give him the right perspective in every situation. If a person tries his life to become complacent or haughty, he knows he's exactly half, that means he's on the cliff. Well, it's going to be haughty now. You can't be haughty. You make one wrong step, you're liable to fall off. On the other hand, if the person wants to give up, what do you mean giving up? This one step you may take now may save you and the entire world. So this shows the person, on the one hand, he can have the greatest initiative and motivation, the manikan akolkan, because the task that I have at this moment can be the most important. I can save the world. And on the other hand, he has nothing to be complacent or haughty about, because he may just make the wrong move. So with this attitude, this gives the person the proper outlook in every situation. That's a very important lesson. Another important lesson we spoke about here is the realization of what we said before from the Tzlach, that God created the world with Esher Maimorim in order to be a ladder, a stepping stone, that every person should be able to get a dveikus and closeness to God, and a realization that the Lord of Yehuda, from the greatest poskim, from the greatest Bali Halacha of the last several hundred years, how he appreciates how a person, even when he davens, they should have, he says, when the tzaddikim say Pesukah de Zimra, the pleasure is beyond anything in this world, that we should realize, what are we saying? The greatness of God that gives us an opportunity, that Baruch Hashem, I get up in the morning, I'm well, I can learn, I can daven, I can do a chesed, I can see the beautiful world around us. You appreciate the kindness and the goodness and the greatness of Hashem Yisbarach. And the appreciation of the three ksorim, as we mentioned before from the Tashmit, that the Torah gave, because the Torah quote covered and Yira. More than the Keser Malchus, which was just given Yira, and the Keser Kuna was just given cover. And the realization, as we said before, that we have 2 days, a Yom Kippur and an Erev Yom Kippur. The Erev Yom Kippur is the Simcha Shel Mitzvah, that a person should realize any mitzvah he does should be with a tremendous Simcha. The Chavetz Chaim brings down in Mishneh Berurah that the Ari HaKodesh, it says in Tzvarim, that he merited, he was Zoicha to Ruach HaKodesh because he was happier than when he did a mitzvah, more than the Simcha of Gan Eden. Because it would seem to us, how could it be that a person could be so happy doing a mitzvah more than the Simcha of Gan Eden? But the Chavetz Chaim explains, he says, that once he saw a fur and looked at him, it wasn't warmer than any other furs. So he asked the person how much it costs. So they told him, a great deal of money. So he asked him, why is it so expensive? It doesn't look to be warmer than anything else. They told him because it's a very rare commodity. You can only get it in some far off forest, and even there, you have to hunt for it. So since it's a rare commodity, that's why it costs so much. So the Chavetz Chaim says, if a rare commodity, you know, supply and demand, if a rare commodity brings up the price, he says, then Torah you're not going to get in any world. Torah, mitzvah, you only get in this world, 70 years, or 80, or 90, which a person is zeicha to be in this world. And for millions of years, nothing can be gotten. He says, that's why it's so valuable. He says, when a person realizes that a simcha should be as if they opened up the treasury of the queen and the king today, where everybody could take. Or they opened up a Fort Knox in America. It would be the greatest simcha a person could take. This world is the one day the treasury is open. That should make the person the greatest simcha in a mitzvah, that he has the opportunity to do it. And the Chavetz Chaim states, he gives a marshal, a parable, that there was once a king that came to visit the army. They were supposed to make practice maneuvers. So he asked the soldiers, is everything all right? So they told him the truth. No, they don't feed us. Must be the generals taking all the money for themselves. So they made a medical examination. They found out it was true. So then the king asked one of the simple soldiers, a private, can anybody leave the army? So it stood up a private, simple army man. He thinks he could do it. They did a beautiful job. The Air Force, the Navy, the tankers. So then, when he finished, the king turned to the general. He says, look what kind of salary I give you, and look what I give this guy, and look what he gives me back, and look what you give me back. So, everyone in life will be asked that question. Many times in life, we see people that have much less. If it's in intellect, if it's in health, if it's in other areas of life, but it seems as they serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with a much greater simcha, a much greater devotion, than people would seem to have much more. This is a question that everybody will be asked. And I spoke about this at the funeral in Jerusalem of a blind man. He was blind since he was 3 months old, and yet he grew up, he had a family, he had a job, he used to go to Shuri Torah, he even played a musical instrument. And when they dug up the streets of Jerusalem, the pits, the only thing he was worried about is how is he going to go to Shul? In the morning, it's full of pits. He's gonna fall into it. So I spoke at his funeral, and I said over this parable from the Chofetz Chaim. Look, what a person makes a bracha in the morning. Pokeach Ivrim, I have eyes. Shalom Asani Goy. Where would a person be chas v'shalom if he'd be born a goy? How much would it take for him to get the simple faith that Baruch Hashem we were got from our fathers and millions of people saw on Har Sinai and in Mitzrayim? Or the Baruch Hashem we have eyes. The appreciation. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us, and what we give back, and what he gives others, and what they give back. This is an important lesson. That the avoidance of Hashem, the simcha, and the appreciation. And as we said before, the Ner Marovi was Eidus, was a testimony, Shashchinah Shrevi Yisrael. That the Jews should realize that we're all the Chochmos, and that's where the Torah starts. Everything else is speculation. Like the one who never saw the boat, he saw something come over the ocean. But we saw clearly. We saw by the Nevi'im, we saw clearly, and we were told, Baruch Hashem, we have a path. Rav Ben Segal once said that someone who spoke to a group of people, Nabuchadnezzar Shenishba, but people in irreligious kibbutz, and he told them, the person started it off the speech. He said, "You people are from the Middle Ages. You're backwards." They said, "So what are you talking about? We're the modern people. You're the ones." He says, "No, we have a." He says, "We're like the person has a blueprint of a complicated situation. We have a blueprint of the world. We know exactly what you're going, where we're going. But a person who doesn't know of our tradition, who doesn't have Torah, it's like in this world, he's blind." He's like in a hall of mirrors. He doesn't know where he's going. The Torah of Hashem, the Eidus, Shashchinah Shriya B'Yisrael. And as the Nodi Yehuda, the Slach, pointed out, that we have in Neis Chanukah an extra miracle showing us that even if Chas V'Shalom there was Tumah, the Shekhinah still comes back. The Jew never loses the potential. This potential of the Kedusha is still there, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always just this close. That's an amazing lesson in life that a person should never, Achav Chaim says, Altishyayish Menaparonius. There are two explanations. One is when things are going so well, not to be too complacent. And the other is when it's not going so well, you should know HaKadosh Baruch Hu is only one step away. Out to Shayesh because you thought you had Peronius. Don't give up hope. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is only one step away. And there is a very good word from the Sfas Emes. The Sfas Emes says, we are told that if a person had all, God gave him everything good and he didn't have the Simcha, Chas V'Shalom, that could bring Peronius. We know that Mida Toiva is 500 times greater than Midas Peronius. She says, so what if a person is in a situation where it's not so good, and yet he's Mekabel B'Simcha? She says, for sure that has the power to bring him back everything good. If what is good, and he wasn't B'Simcha, they have the power to bring the Peronius. So when it's not so good, and he's Mekabel B'Simcha, so for sure that has the power to bring him back to everything good. Let us learn some of the important lessons from this parsha and internalize them there in order that we should all reach our potentials in Torah and Yerushalayim and Midas. Amen. Amen.
What did you answer about Sinai?
Me, Sinai? Because he learned.